The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Sonia Usech Kuhn of the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month we will introduce you to people in the community who are making a difference. Our guest today is Kimberly Scott. Kimberly, welcome to Community Connections. We are delighted that you can join us today and share with our audience the work that you do at Wake County Health and Human Services. So let me introduce you to our audience. Kimberly Scott is the LiveWell Wake Program Manager with Wake County Health and Human Services. In this role, Kimberly oversees a countywide initiative made up of more than 100 partners aiming to improve community health outcomes. Additionally, Kimberly oversees the county's community health assessment process. This process identifies and assesses the existing community health resources and needs as informed by residents and stakeholders. Before joining Wake County Human Services, Kimberly served as Vice President of Community Health for the Georgia-based nonprofit Horizons Community Solutions, where she led programming and community-based research addressing chronic disease prevention, cancer prevention and control, and population health. In 2007, Kimberly received a Bachelor of Science degree in biology from Albany State University. She received a Master of Public Health, concentrating in community health education, from Georgia Southern University in 2009. She is currently pursuing doctoral studies at the University of South Florida, concentrating in public health leadership. Kimberly is a Georgia native who has lived in Wake County since January 2020. She is a pet mom to her feisty dog, Shy, a 10-year-old Yorkie Shih Tzu. In her free time, Kimberly enjoys dabbling in photography and traveling. She is involved in countless service and civic organizations and is a member of Delta Sigma Theta sorority. She serves as a board member on numerous youth-serving nonprofits and community-based organizations. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
Great. So let's begin by you telling us a little about the history of LiveWell Wake and the premise of the idea that everyone has a right to live well.
Certainly. For years, Wake County Health and Human Services has led a process called the Community Health Assessment. And this process is conducted every 3 to 4 years to identify and prioritize community health issues and concerns as informed by members of our community. And this work has historically been done through a network of partners that include local health care and hospital providers, community health centers, and nonprofits who historically have staffed and supported this process. And in the end, a report is generated which presents a community snapshot of health in Wake County, the good, the bad, the great, and the ugly. And this report really helps direct planning and resource allocation to ensure that our local public health partners are creating programs and services and policies that really align with community needs. So transitioning a bit to 2017, a special commission was launched by the Wake County Board of Commissioners called the Population Health Task Force. And I know that's a mouthful, but they were charged to do two key things. One is identifying who in Wake County is most likely to experience poor health outcomes based on the results of our community assessments and other social and economic indicators. And the second charge was to make recommendations concerning what we could do to make real change. And one recommendation was that we create this LiveWell Wake initiative to support ongoing solution making, to so that we could really build on our strength of identifying community issues and work collectively with our partners to find solutions to these big challenges that might be impacting the health of our community. And as a result, Live Well Wake was officially launched in January of 2020, combining that community health assessment process with the recommendations from the Population Health Task Force, which really created a full circle approach to identifying community issues and identifying solutions to those issues.
Okay, well, it seems like a large undertaking. So perhaps you can talk now about these partners and describe for our listeners who the stakeholders are.
Certainly. Live Well Wake includes a growing network of more than 100 partners who have been involved in the work today. And these partners represent our local healthcare, business, community, housing professionals, local government, community-based organizations, faith partners, employment professionals, education sector, but most importantly, our stakeholders are Wake County residents who may not be connected to an organization, but they're passionate about their neighbors and the need to create healthy communities. So I'm just so honored that we have a dedicated team of partners who have been committed to this work, and they participate actively in various work groups and committees to make sure that we can execute a joint strategic action plan to improve community health.
Can you possibly name a couple of the partners?
Sure. So all of our local hospital systems, from Wake Med to Duke Raleigh to UNC Rex, they are key partners in this initiative, founding partners who have been involved in this work. And we also partner very closely with United Way of the Triangle. We have a variety of nonprofit partners who have been involved in this work for years, including partners like Wake County Smart Start. And I hate to call names because we have so many incredible partners. Definitely don't want to leave off any of our key partners who are involved in the work. But we do truly have representation from diverse cross-sector members of the Wake County community.
How about the Red Cross? Are they part of this initiative, the Red Cross?
The Red Cross is not an official partner of this initiative.
Okay. All right. Well, I just asked about the official ones, and I just took a guess. Okay.
No, but we'd love to have them at the table as well.
Yeah, well, they're when considering the storms that went on this week, they're probably very busy right now helping a lot of people.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now, there are, in your framework, 7 data-driven priorities. And if you could talk a little about them and how their work groups affect the residents, I think that would be really interesting, because among them, transportation, which is certainly an issue in the suburbs, access to health care, housing, mental health. Yeah, I think if you can give a little bit of a description about those about those work groups.
Certainly, and I think it might be helpful in describing the work group to just give a quick snapshot of the overall goal of Live Well Wake. And the overall goal is quite simple to state, but it's a complex task to take on. We are ultimately aiming to make Wake County the healthiest community for all of our residents without regard to their zip code, their race or ethnicity, their age, their gender, income, or any circumstance. We want everyone to have the opportunity to live well and thrive. So living well is just so much more than being sick or well. Living well is access to safe, affordable housing. Living well is access to good paying jobs. Living well means access to a doctor when you need to meet your health care needs. Living well is access to stigma-free behavioral health resources. Living Well is access to transportation, all of those things. So, you know, right now we have so many families who are struggling trying to decide should they pay rent or complete an important medical procedure because they don't have funds to do both. So through our work groups, we have these 7 work groups that exist. And 5 of the work groups were identified based on priorities from the 2019 Community Health Needs Assessment. And those topics include access to care, mental health and substance use. We also have a housing and homeless work group, and then we have a group that's focused on employment opportunities and transportation and transit access. So all of these groups have worked collectively to create community health improvement plans with specific strategies that focus on how they're going to address those key issues. And, you know, we could certainly take 30 minutes to talk about the work that each group is doing because they're doing tremendous work. But central to the work, all of these groups are really focusing on how they can collectively work together to leverage limited resources and work in partnership with other agencies to have the greatest reach and impact to tackle these tough issues that no one agency can address alone. So we have 5 priorities that were identified from the Community Health Needs Assessment. The additional 2 work groups focus on specific populations that were identified through the Population Health Task Force findings. And those 2 populations focus on groups that have historically been underserved or communities that have historically been underserved and familiar faces or persons who might be frequent users of our emergency systems, our homeless shelters or criminal justice systems. And thinking about what supports and systems we can put in place to best support those communities who may have historically experienced poor health outcomes. So those are the 7 work groups or priority areas that the initiative focuses on. We have an extremely robust plan that's housed on our website that goes into the details of each of the action steps that the groups are taking to move towards community health improvement.
Well, it sounds like quite a task.
It is quite a task,
right, and you're the head of it. So congratulations to you. The lead organization team, what is that and what are the roles of that team?
So the lead organization team is made up of some of those key partners that I identified early on when describing some of our partner networks, from our hospital system partners to our key nonprofits and Wake County Human Services, Health and Human Services, we recently changed our name, who ultimately serves as the backbone or organizing agency for this Live Well Wake initiative. So the lead organization team really focuses on members of those different entities that have come together to almost serve as a traditional board would function for a nonprofit to help with the oversight of the overall initiative and strategic decision making and providing staff support and resources to help execute all of the Live Well Wake strategies. This group initially formed before Live Well Wake was even a thought. This is the group that started the joint community health assessment process and really transitioned into this lead organization team and Live Well Wake advisory team to really move the needle on advancing Live Well Wake into its current model that we use today.
So where was the needle when you took over in January of 2020? How closely organized were you?
So in January of 2020, the team had just completed our 2019 community health assessment, which is where those 5 priorities discussed were generated from. And I came on board at a really interesting time because our planning team had already assembled to conduct what we called Design Day, which was our official Live Well Wake kickoff. And Design Day was an opportunity for us to invite community partners, residents, anyone with an interest in advancing the health of Wake County residents to join together for a joint strategy session where we reviewed our most community health assessment data and those five priority areas that were identified as most important. And we took time to really dissect the data by priority area focus and think about who's at the table, who's missing, what steps need to occur for us to move the needle, so to speak, or advance opportunities to create strong systems where we can really improve these areas of concern that have been identified in the community health assessment. So through Design Day, that's where the bulk of the Live Well Wake launch was born. Our team worked very hard to, again, comb through not only the community health assessment data, but also to bring in resident experts and community members who had on the ground or lived experience in these issues that could provide some additional context for what's happening. Getting a true understanding of the difficulty with finding safe, affordable housing for families, understanding the transportation barriers that are in place for families that may have moved to a different part of the county because they're no longer able to afford a home that they've lived in for years due to changing neighborhood demographics, and how those moves might impact their access to transportation and other important supports. This opportunity through Design Day is where we really were able to bring together all of those experiences collectively with our community health assessment data to get a picture of health in Wake County. And again, this process is done every 3 to 4 years, so it's already time for us to start thinking about our next assessment, which will occur in 2022.
You mentioned several areas that needed attention, and they were brought to attention at that particular day. Can you make a guess, maybe, or maybe you have the exact information? Which of those areas, housing, employment, mental health, which one was the one that was in most need of help?
Well, I think it's difficult to weigh one over the other because they're all interrelated. When we think about the complexities of just, housing is dependent on having access to economic resources so that you can secure housing. Transportation is connected to employment. They're all so interconnected. So we did have varying interests from our participants. And it was mainly based on what areas those persons might have worked in, or areas that they had lived experience that they felt like they had the most expertise to contribute to conversations. But I would say that during our discussions, we did breakout groups based on those different priority areas. And most of the groups were pretty balanced with participation. So it's difficult to place one need over the other since they're all interconnected and tightly woven. But I think there's definitely, especially with recent changes within the local region, I think there's growing interest in housing supports with a rising cost of housing nationally and locally.
Yeah, that is a point, that the rise in prices to purchase a home definitely up. So I can see how everything is interrelated. And to add to the pot, during this time of COVID, the pandemic, what challenges did Live Well Wake face, and how were they met?
Wow, Live Well Wake experienced a plethora of challenges during this COVID pandemic. Our launch for the initiative was January of 2020. So we had 2 months where we were operational before the world changed based on this global pandemic that we now know is COVID-19. I don't think anyone could have predicted that our rollout would occur the way it did. So this did impede, our ability early on to just meet with people in person and form that group synergy where we can plan and work as a collective and get to know one another. It did impede that a bit, but we made the best of an incredibly challenging situation and moved most of our engagement to a virtual platform so that we could still move forward with coming up with a community health improvement plan And again, I have to credit our awesome network of partners who just really maintain momentum and making sure that we establish a strong foundation in a really tough period. We also were able to pivot our focus just a bit to make sure that we were supporting local COVID response efforts and helping and disseminating information that was accurate and timely to our partner network so that they could distribute to their constituents. So we were really excited about being in a position to distribute information to that partner network and get information out in a time where there were so many conflicting and confusing messages surrounding how to operate in this COVID space. One other thing that was really pivotal during this period is that we were able to apply for some federal funding to really support our communities. And stay tuned because there's more to come with information about this opportunity, but we're tremendously grateful that we did secure some funding that will support our communities who are working towards those priority areas that we've identified through a grant fund that will launch later this fall.
How else are you funded besides receiving a grant?
So currently, LiveWell Wake, Wake County Health and Human Services is my employer. So my position is funded through Wake County. But the other activities of LiveWell Wake, right now the primary activity focuses on our community health assessment process. And that process is jointly funded by our lead organization team that we talked about a bit earlier, which includes our hospital partners, our federally qualified health centers, our nonprofit partners, who all contribute financially to the completion of this report. Historically, before this partnership was merged, many organizations would complete assessments in silos. But together, we can leverage resources and create one strong assessment using our joint resources. So that's one of our key funding streams to make sure that we can execute the work of the initiative.
Well, that sounds like also that you've met the challenge. This is really, really wonderful work. And I know that this fall, and it's almost fall, we're in September now, that your community health assessment process is being launched. So I would like you to please remind folks about this happening. Tell us about this happening and how they can become part of it.
Certainly. So again, our community health needs assessment process for our 2022 cycle, we are currently launching the process to collect data, analyze local data, and also engage community to hear from Wake County residents, their perceptions on the state of the health of our community and what areas we need to focus on for this next cycle of our assessment process. So what we're doing in order to collect this information, you know, we are still operating in a period of COVID, but what we are doing is adapting our approach and conducting an online survey to collect community feedback. And this year's survey, we will have two phases of the survey. One, the first phase, which we'll launch, will be almost invitation only, so to speak, so that we can get a truly representative sample of our community. So there will be postcards that go out in the mail inviting our residents to complete a survey. And the second piece of the survey is a broader survey, which is open to anyone in the community, where we will send out invitations and promote on our website, promote amongst our partners, inviting people to give their input via this survey. The survey is ADA compliant and should work well with most common or commonly used screen reader tools. But we also will have focus groups so that we can hear from folks that may have internet barriers or challenges that would prohibit them from completing an online survey so that we can hear their input as well. So we're really excited about launching this community health assessment, and it's extremely important to our work to hear from our community. Ultimately, everyone who lives, works, and plays in Wake County can benefit from Live Well Wake and has the right to live well and thrive. I'm sure that many of our listeners have heard the age-old saying, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And really, we thrive as a community when we ensure that everybody has the opportunity to be healthy. So that's what Live Well Wake is striving to do. We hope that your listeners will stay connected to our initiative. Our website is www.livewellwake.org. And there we post information about our initiative and ongoing updates and opportunities to be engaged. We also have a social media presence. So for anyone who is interested in following us on Facebook or Twitter, we can be found at Live Well Wake. And we invite your audience to join us and join our efforts to really make Wake County the best community for everyone to grow and thrive and live healthy lives.
I am going to ask you to repeat the website again a little slower so our listeners could, it's a long one, so a little slower so our listeners could get it down straight. Would you do that, please?
Most definitely, and it is a mouthful. Our website is www.livewellwake.org.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, Kimberly, I have to say that you have been a most charming and particularly informative guest. And thank you so much for sharing all this information with us today. I myself did not know that all of this was going on in Wake County, and I'm so happy to know that the folks of Wake County are being cared for through Health and Human Services, and at the helm, you, Kimberly Scott.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for your kind words, and thank you for this opportunity to engage your audience.
You're quite welcome. But we have run out of time for this month's episode of Community Connections. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. I'm Sonia Usach-Kuhn for the North Carolina Reading Service. Community Connections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments, questions, or would like to be a sponsor of Community Connections, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to North Carolina Reading Service.